Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. And today we are talking about anxiety in preparation for our great anxiety lecture that's going to be at the library on May 17th, 7:30. My apologies. Rob will describe this in a second. You are listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU FM 100.1 on the FM dial, on the internet, everywhere, at any time, anywhere on this planet. And you could also email us at mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com. Okay, excellent. So, Rob, tell us about the anxiety lecture and what we're talking about today.
Well, the anxiety lecture, again, as you said, is on May 17th at 7:30 at the Fairfield Public Library.
And do come early, because it will fill up. So try and get there, if you can, 7-ish.
Early.
Yes, don't. It's an anxiety lecture. Probably not good to be anxious and come there late.
That's exactly right. And the lecture is sponsored by the Mental Health Alliance, Fairfield Jefferson County Mental Health Alliance,
which you are invited to join,
and Optime Wellness, and the three speakers are Nancy Lansdorf, who is a doctor here in town, an MD, Patrick Pomfrey, who is a doctor of psychology.
He's a great psychologist.
Right. And Jim Davis, who is a DO, which stands for?
Doctor of...
Of O. As it says on the brochure, on the poster, which is all over the town now, that anxiety is everyone's business. Learn how anxiety affects different groups, students, adults, and families, and how to deal with it. And I think it'll be a great event. And let's talk a little bit about what anxiety is.
Yeah, and a shout out to Patrick Williams, who did a great job putting this together, and Cheryl and everybody else at the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance.
Kathleen,
of course, Rob, everybody there. And do become part of us. Every other Tuesday, we meet. So this Tuesday, the first and third Tuesday, we are meeting. And currently, we're meeting at Dreyer Hall at 7:45, which you're welcome to attend. And third Tuesdays, we are looking to move in town. We're looking for different locations, so we could be half in town and half on campus.
I think we've already decided that we're going to go to the bank, but okay.
Okay, well, that sounds good. And so we'll be, we want you to be part of things, because we're looking at really mental health issues for the entire community. We're looking at for professionals and non-professionals, for meditators, for non-meditators, for everybody, because everybody deals with mental health issues.
And the mental health issue that we're dealing with now is the different types of anxiety disorders, which are Dr. Terry.
All right. So according to the DSM-5, which is our little Bible here, is... Let me just read them quickly, but then I'm going to give a conceptualization of these. Separation anxiety disorder, selective mutism, specific phobia, you know, like fear of flying, fear of heights. Social anxiety disorder or social phobia. Panic attacks. Agoraphobia, which is generally a lot of times people have that, where they're afraid to walk outside their house or their environment. Generalized anxiety disorder, substance or medication-induced anxiety disorder, and sometimes due to some other medical condition. But we're going to get more into this. I think we're going to have two talks on anxiety. Today we're going to talk about a conceptualization.
Not two talks, but two shows, you mean?
Two shows.
All right.
Two shows on anxiety. Today we're going to basically give a little bit of background to what a way to think about this. And the way I like thinking about this kind of stuff is according to the notion of creation, maintenance, destruction.
Say that again.
Creation, maintenance, and destruction, or change.
What does that mean?
Well, some people relate it to know or known, process of knowing, and other kinds of ways of thinking. But if I think about it as creation, like what created it? So when I think about having an anxiety disorder, I got to think about what's the definition, like we talked about. And are we talking about biological issues or psychological or social issues? Some people would even add spiritual issues. But a lot of times there's this intersection between these different worlds that are, we call this systemic or going back and forth. And so they're like in a little loop. So you might feel something biologically, and then socially you might have that outside, and then psychologically you might have a reaction to what you're seeing outside that you're now perceiving, you're choosing to look at, something that's making you anxious. And so they sort of go around in a little circle with one another. What I'm talking about is in terms of having a reaction to, or more specifically being in reference to, something that's going on. And let me be specific for a second. There's three general types of things that I see going on. Something that's going on, we're in reference to something that's going on within ourselves, biologically, our behaviors or actions, our cognitive, the way we think about things, or how we process things, generally our emotions, what's behind how we process these emotions, or what's behind how we think about things, the bigger picture. And maybe in this society, we might even think about things in terms of spiritual reactions. And then a second category is looking at how we consider how we're in reference to things of change. Change from the past, change that some issue that we're wanting to change, that we're struggling to change, and how we're coming to terms with that change.
Internal change, you mean? Or
yeah, internal changes, like I'm wanting to stop drinking or smoking or some change that I'm trying to make in my life, and then how I'm in reference to that sense of change and how I could get past that into something much bigger. And then a third category is in reference to what we might think of as almost social, but it's like how we in reference to our families, like a family inside us, because we internalize that family inside us, in reference to ourselves. If you think about who we are, how we conceptualize who we are, how we're in reference to one other, a partner, a friend, how we're in reference, like I said, to a family or larger social grouping or where we work, our peers, our sub-societal and our societal groups, and how we're in reference to our environment, the greater environment upon which we live, and reacting to the weather or some terrible events or something in the environment. And so how can we move past these references to create something more?
Or how do you deal with them is what you're
saying.
How
do you deal with them?
Okay.
And so when we talk about how we maintain this anxiety, instead of being able to get rid of it, we kind of maintain it. You know, it's not just something that's there. And so there's lots of ways to think about, well, maybe I need to take a more global, holistic perspective of this and not just take a pill and hope it goes away. The pill can be really useful, but it doesn't necessarily take the problems away because we still have our habits, our still old ways of doing things, our references. Maybe we've put ourselves in a bad situation that doesn't go away. We got to deal with the whole package. So we really need to look at the biological, the psychological, the social, the, like I said, the spiritual sometimes, and think about how we're maintaining that anxiety.
How we're what?
Maintaining. And what do we then want to do to change that reference to these things?
Okay. You're listening, by the way, to Mental Health Matters, KRUU 100.1 FM on your radio dial, and this is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and Rob Huber, and we're discussing anxiety, and particularly the event that's coming up on May 17th, Sunday, at the Public Library, which is Anxiety is Everyone's Business.
Which the event will be recorded, and we'll try and find a place where we're going to post that recording.
I think just to back up a little bit, anxiety, one of the reasons why they're doing this is because anxiety affects almost one-fifth of everybody in America in one way or another.
And around the world, at least.
Yeah, right. Well, KRUU goes around the world. So,
and that's just what's diagnosed. That's not necessarily, it's even more than that. All of us, every single one of us, has been anxious at some point in our lives. It's not that uncommon. Sometimes we might not have a specific phobia to flying on planes or heights or something, but all of us have said some anxiety.
Yeah,
just being human.
Right, and anxiety disorders are more than just what we've already mentioned, but they're problems with sleeping. Cold and hot sweat, shortness of breath. I mean, there are a lot of things that are symptoms and indications of that.
Absolutely. If you've ever had a confrontation with somebody, you've had some anxiety come up, and you can't have been in a relationship with somebody in this world and not had some confrontation of some sort.
Well, that's true.
So we're getting to, like, what do we do with some of these things? And some of the problems are we have, so here's another word, maladaptive. So we come up with these ways to deal with stuff that don't really work for us. For example, a common one, and is becoming less and less common, which is good, where people smoke. And if I feel anxious, then I might smoke. But by smoking, it's not just, okay, it'll kill me later and I'll have years before I die of not, having good lung capacity. And by the way, my sexual functioning and other functioning will not be as good because I'm smoking. Always a good reason to get rid of smoking. But the real thing is, the immediate thing is, it will make you feel better for a few minutes because I'm rushing in adrenaline, nicotine, which creates lots of stimulation. It's the exact opposite, for instance, of drinking, which is a depressant, and which is another way people deal with anxiety. But in terms of smoking, so then I feel better for a moment, but then what it does is it causes a rebound reaction and will make things much, much worse. And it's not just then I'm more dependent on having more smoking at some point because I'm feeling anxious again, but the smoking is actually inducing more anxiety in me.
Okay.
So you come into this terrible vicious cycle. But we also do this maladaptive coping mechanism. Sorry for the big words. And
we'll use regular words. What a maladaptive means, something that you do that really doesn't help.
That doesn't help, and a coping mechanism, we try and come up with something that works, right, but it really doesn't.
Okay.
So, thank you, Rob. So, for example, I might come up with another coping mechanism that I'm afraid of heights, so I'll try and not look at tall buildings because I'll be afraid of going inside them one day. Or, but of course that doesn't really work because you're going to always end up having to go inside something and go a little bit higher. And then that fear drives more fear. So now what used to be a really tall building and now it's a smaller tall building. And so we come up with these terrible ways of coping with our problems sometimes that just makes things a whole lot worse.
Okay.
There's lots of ways, like I said, to understand what anxiety is or how we're maintaining it. And there's lots of ways to think about, well, what's the way to destroy it or change it or transform ourselves so we're not trapped by that anxiety? Because it's not so much the anxiety, it's almost our reaction to that reaction that kills us sometimes. Feeling a little stress sometimes is not always the worst thing in the world, if it's a little bit. But again, what do you define as stress? Waking up in the morning sometimes, it's like, oh, I'm moving my body. Some people would say that's stressful. Some people would say, oh, I'm just waking up. Having a little bit of anxiety for some people is a way for them to motivate themselves. I think that's a way, I don't think that's a correct definition, but I think another way to think about it is if I have some anxiety, it's like when I think about having a panic attack, which we'll get into more in our second talk, I'm having a reaction to a reaction. The panic attack is I'm afraid of flying on a plane or going up in a building or seeing somebody. And just thinking about that will bring out that anxiety after a mm-hmm. while. Yeah. So I'm afraid of fear. If I have agoraphobia, I'm afraid of going outside. So just thinking about going outside makes me afraid. So it's like fear of fear, a reaction to our reactions. I know that sounds a bit abstract.
A little. Let's say that again. Afraid. Is there a difference between anxiety and fear?
Yes.
Fear is a normal reaction.
Fear is a normal reaction.
I mean, if there's a wild bull coming at you, you ought to fear it. Not be anxiety, but fear. That,
exactly.
You know,
and there's a difference between worry and fear.
Right.
You know? And so it's really, you know, if I'm a bullfighter, I'm not afraid anymore. This is what I'm supposed to do. The bull's coming at me. I don't feel fear and I don't feel anxiety. If I'm a soldier and I'm trained to have bullets fly at my head, then I'm not it's a normal reaction to feel some fear at a bullet flying in my head, but I don't have worry about it. I have, oh, that's a bullet flying in my head. I got to react to that and do something with that.
Okay.
Okay. And so it's really is situational. And for some people, if there was a fire in this room, I would be scared. I'd run out and do something.
Get out of here.
I'd get out of here. And I, since I was in a fire once, I might, if I even think about it strong enough, I might have a lot of worry, which causes anxiety just thinking about fires if I have that much fear,
okay.
That much worry, which leads to that fear. So sometimes there's a reason to have fear. Right. And then,
right.
But it's again, it's how we react to that. It's our reactions. It's our reference to what's going on, either inside us or around us.
It's one thing to react to a fire, which is external from us and is burning us up, and another to act on the fear of the fire within us. Is that what you're saying?
Or? It is. And if there's an actual fire, I don't know what to do. I don't have any resilience. I have no training in that. So I would be scared, and then I would probably have some reaction, some PTSD afterwards if it was that
right,
bad.
Right.
But if I was a fireman and I'm trained to be, I wouldn't run away from a fire. I'd be running towards, oh, there's a fire. I need to do this X, Y, and Z. Put water here, do foam here, do this, get the spray thing
right.
That, you know, right. The fire extinguisher.
It's called a hose.
It's a hose.
Fire extinguisher.
Yeah, there
whatever.
You go.
Yeah, okay. Put out the fire.
Put out the fire. Because I know what to do. And it's learning what to do and taking control over the situation. So, for example, when I start thinking about how to address anxiety, there are many ways to look at this. And one way, for example, when I think about something, I tell everybody to exercise. Everybody I ever see, I tell them to exercise and meditate, change the diet, change the sleep patterns, et cetera, et cetera. Like we talked about with some of the Blue Zone stuff. And the good thing about the exercise is it does three things distinctly. Same with a lot of these other things. One is it changes the neurochemistry, the brain chemistry. You get 30 minutes of intensity, you change that brain chemistry. as opposed to just taking a pill that just takes the brain chemistry for a little bit, but then reintroduces the anxiety again. It gives you the opportunity to change your behavior so the anxiety will start going away, but you've got to do something other than just take the pill. If I do something like I do exercise, I'm changing the brain chemistry, but I'm also doing a couple other really distinctive things. One is I am becoming mindful of my body. I'm really aware, fully aware of being in a body. And so therefore, I'm not running from the anxiety or experience that I'm having. I'm aware of it and not in denial, and then go, I now have a choice. What do I do about that anxiety? So just like with exercise, I become aware is the second thing. Mindful training, whatever it is, or just simply being aware of my breathing and my body. And then the third thing is, because I'm now aware, just like I'm aware of that anxious reaction, I can now do something about that anxiety. I could do something. I am choosing to exercise. I'm choosing to do something with what's going on. So that's where my power really comes back to me.
What are your choices then when you start to look at it saying, I can choose something? What are your choices?
My choice is, one, to simply notice what I'm experiencing without trying to run away from it. Most of us, we're in pain, we want to run. If I hurt my hand, I want to run. I want to put it in cold water, in ice, and I want to scream, yell, do anything I can to not feel what I'm feeling. Sometimes if I just feel what I'm feeling, like a little kid who comes in and scrapes his knee, mom says, oh, I got it, your knee scraped. Okay. I kiss you, I love you, go play. And if the mom doesn't react, the kid doesn't react. If you don't react to your reactions, if you don't get into that fear mode, you know, or the worry mode about it, then I could then do something. So I become aware of it. I then get what I've made it mean in the past, which is that when this situation happens, I don't have control over my life. And now I could do the third step, which is I could create a new meaning. I could do something else with that. Like, this is an opportunity for me to change. And then the fourth thing, which is the most important one, is I act on that. So I have this experience, this anxiety, and I change my meaning, and then I go, I'm going to act on that. I got that I'm anxious. I'm not in denial about my anxiety. But that doesn't mean I have to live in fear. I'm going to learn how to become resilient and change who I am, which gives me power to be who I need to be. So therefore, maybe I need to exercise. Maybe I need to meditate and not just do a short-term meditation like a mindfulness to become aware at that moment, which is always a good thing, breathing, body scan, which we'll go through. You know, noticing your body from your toes to your head, every muscle group. But also then maybe do something like a transcendental meditation where I can actually transcend the pain itself and be able to learn how to not have that. But just meditating alone might not be enough. Just exercising alone might not be enough. You might need to deal with the psychological trauma that you've had or the fear reactions for so long that have created some mild PTSD or who knows what's there. But it's allowing yourself to address not only the biological aspects, the social aspects, my reaction to others because of this, but also my psychological aspects. What's going on inside me that I'm now wanting to look at changing?
You're listening to KRUU 100.1 FM on the radio, and this is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and Rob Hubler, and we are discussing anxiety, particularly the event coming up on May 17th, Sunday, at the Public Library at 7:30. Anxiety is everyone's business. One thing that you haven't touched on yet is seeking assistance from other people.
Yeah, exactly. That we don't have to be...
Professional and friends and whatnot.
Absolutely. We're not having to be alone. And in fact, one of the if we talk about everything from addictions on down, what happens when we're in that mode, that fear mode, and we start hunkering down, is that we start isolating ourselves, which in fact, that's like one of those maladaptive things. That's one of those things that doesn't work. In fact, it makes it worse. It's like I have a veteran, and when he's feeling bad, he does something to make himself even more bad, even more fearful. And it's like, I have to watch the American Sniper movie, or I have to do something to feel even worse and make my relationship even worse. And by doing so, it's like when you're in a hole, you know what you're supposed to not do?
Dig the hole deeper.
That's right. It's like, stop digging for a moment, get you're in a hole, stop being in denial about that hole, and go, okay. So, yeah, get out of that hole, connect with others. Stop, even if you have that fear, that social anxiety, find a safe way to connect with others. Stop worrying.
Seek professional assistance. Too.
Seek professional assistance. I mean, sometimes if it's disrupting your life in any real significant way, you're afraid to walk out the door. You're afraid to connect with others. You're afraid at your job. There's something where that fear has turned into a worry that's really nagging you all the time, because that fear, there's really nothing there. Nobody's judging you because nobody cares about you. People care about themselves. They're lost in their own heads. Nobody's really, doesn't really matter what they're thinking about you. It's like moving past that.
You know, it seems like there are some immediate things that we can do too. Like for whenever I feel anxiety coming on, you know, two or three deep breaths really help me, you know, to be present with myself. Like you said, you know, see what my body is saying to me, you know, where is the tension? Where is the, you know, those are things that really help me in terms of trying to deal with stress and anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. Start with the biology, because that's, again, be in action. Do something. Don't just sit there. Notice what's going on. Be aware of it. Get that you're not going to be in denial, and then do something.
Yeah, take drugs or drink or
yeah, ride, exactly.
Do 140 mile an hour on a motorcycle.
Oh, exactly.
You know, all those things, yeah.
So, you know, there are millions of breathing exercises. There's a great one from the Department of Defense that has, from the DOD, there's a lot of free apps. And it goes through, the one that they have is breathe in for four, hold it for four, breathe out for four, breathe in, hold it for four. There's a lot of those, or breathe in for four, hold it for four, and then breathe out for five or six. You know, there's a million different kinds of, we do a pranayama or a breathing exercise where you could do a deep breathing, a body scan where I'm just noticing each part of my body. Or another way to do a body scan is I'm going to squeeze my toes for 10 seconds, hold it, and then release, feel the blood rush in, go up to my calves, my thighs, my hamstrings, my stomach. Even you could be in the middle of a crowd and you could still make a fist, squeeze it for 10 seconds as hard as you can, and then let it go, shake your hand and feel the blood rush in, and get that you're taking control. So again, the bigger point is not just addressing what's going on in your mind, in your brain, I mean, but also get that you're aware of what's going on and then act on that. Mm. Get that you're the one who could choose to do something. And if it's really disrupting your life, seek help. We're here. That's why people like me have jobs.
Yeah,
right. I wish that I lived in a society, in a world that didn't need me, and I could go back to being an artist. You know? Anyways, thank you so much for listening. This jumped back so fast, and I'm sorry if I was a bit too much of theoretical stuff today.
That's great. This is KRUU 100.1 FM on your dial, and you listened to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. Thanks much.
Thank you. And next week we'll do part two on anxiety.
You bet.
Bye.